The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike?
Leslie,
guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Oh, yes, it is. It's hump day. It's Wednesday. Good morning. It's 7:06 in the morning. On today, March the 11th. I know. I'm doing this only because Elton loves to play this, our intern. He loves playing that on Wednesday mornings. And he just starts me off before I can say, okay, you did ask if we wanted to play it. Yes, of course we did. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Wednesday morning, March the 11th. Like I said, the time is 7:08 in the morning. Our phone line's here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.gold. Hello, Sun Gold. It's already in the chat room. Today, showers are likely, cloudy with a high near 61, calm wind becoming south-southeast, 5 to 7 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 70%, a 50% chance of showers tonight before 11 p.m. Tomorrow, Thursday, sunny with a high near 78. We're kind of going back up there again. Friday, mostly sunny. And Friday night, mostly cloudy. And it looks like maybe a chance of rain on Saturday, a chance of rain on Sunday, and a Monday, partly sunny. So it looks like we're going to get rain today. And it's already damp out there, and it was drizzling when I was coming in. And sunny for a day or two, and then Saturday, maybe another chance of rain. We'd like to have like 2 inches of rain. 2 inches of rain would bring up Lake Shasta, what, another 10 feet probably, which we need. It's great. Hey, look, the weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. You know, it's a veteran-owned business, and it's a locally owned business by Chuck and Judy. They have senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. Good morning. Hey, Whoopi, the Sister Act, this comedy, is coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium on March the 25th. For a limited engagement, and it's produced by Whoopi Goldberg and Troika Entertainment. It's going to be a great night down there, and in fact, you have different ways you can enjoy it. You can just enjoy the show itself, or you can get into the VIP dinner, a 3-course preset menu, steak, lamb, or salmon. And cast members from the Sister Act will join you for questions and answers. There's $40 and starts at $5.15. That seems like a good deal. You know, set dinner and all that. And $5.15 dinner served. You arrive at 5:15. It's served at 5:30. And tickets are at the ReadingCivic.com under events. Linda's going there with like 8 of her girlfriends, which that should be interesting. So good morning, everybody. What are we going to do? We're going to have Reading Police Chief Rob Pletty today. He comes on once a month. There was comments from Greg Beal and an email saying that, why is Rob Pletty getting his own show? Well, he isn't. I'm inviting him on because this is my station, mine and Linda's, of course. And, we also invite, my gosh, the sheriff on to talk about crime, since it is a big thing in our area, in the county. And then we welcome Congressman Doug LaMoffitt to hear what's going on from our representative. Brian Daly is on our show on a regular basis. We have people from all different walks of life on this show because we do that. We've had, 1,800 guests. We figure in our sixth year, ranging from you, Greg, and you had a wonderful time, and I had a great time with you. In fact, you need to come back on again. I'd love to hear what you say about Hillary Clinton in the emails, being head of the Democratic Party up here in Northern California. And I also, because you're an interesting guest, and you have a lot of great, you've got a lot of great things to say, so I'd love to have you back on again. But we've also had Occupy Now, we've had ACLU, we have pro-marijuana guys, we have you know, anti-marijuana people. We've had them all. Karl Rove, Ann Coulter, everybody has been invited on the show and will continue to be invited on the show because, you know what, it's interesting to hear other points of view. Now, Tony, thank you. I hope you're listening, Tony, but thank you for that great email you sent me yesterday. And we were talking about lead, you know, and Assemblyman Gallagher was fighting to get the lead ban raised. And Tony came in and said, you know, I really enjoy the show and what you do for the community. But here's the other side of this. And it was talking about how animals, like the, you know, raptors and coyotes and all this, foxes, will eat the animals that may have lead in them and will ingest the lead. And in some cases, golden eagles, bald eagles, they have to be rescued because they have lead poisoning. And that's you know what? I have no reason to disbelieve that. I just don't think that lead bullets are that much of a cause of that. It could be anything. They could be getting lead from anything. In there, but it was really it was really appreciated. So thank you very much, Tony, for your email. And it gives another avenue. And I'm not sure if it's I'm not sure if everything they're saying in that is correct. But then again, you know, is everything Gallagher saying, is that correct? But that's the best thing about having the show is that you can hear both sides. And anyway, okay. Like I said, Riverfront Playhouse is coming in today. Plus we've got I've got at least 8 minutes. That I'm going to do on Hillary Clinton and her emails, including a bunch of questions that have come out that have not been answered yet. Now, we want to talk about what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, with the latest that came out of Department of Justice, two completely separate findings, which are interesting on the points there. Thomas Sowell has a piece in the Record Searchlight today about it, and it's an interesting dichotomy of how two completely different reports can come out of the Department of Justice, except that one's based on fact and witnesses, hundreds of witnesses, and one is based on witnesses, but drawing a conclusion that may be somewhat tainted. That's interesting. We will probably talk about that. Talking about pine trees and a few other things. But the first thing is that, you know, Linda's not with me today because she is fighting off this cold. I mean, you know, she was down Monday and kind of got up, and then yesterday she comes into work and she works real hard for all day long, and then last night she just crashes again. So we've got a lot of things going on this weekend with, this Festa Italiana, which is not too late to get tickets to. We've got a number of other things we're doing, so it's best that she tries to take care of herself. So big shout out and big loves to Linda. Hopefully she's sleeping right now. But being able to sleep, here's one of the things we've found, is that we can't go back in the bedroom and lay down and watch TV because our sleep number bed will knock us right out. My sleep number setting is 40, and I've changed it up to 45, and I sleep. I think it's even better. Linda's is she's doing hers at 40. Sometimes she goes up to 50. But we can adjust it. Her side of the bed is different than my side of the bed because we have that ability to do in the dual air technology. And now with the Sleep IQ technology that is available in Sleep Number beds, it tracks how you sleep and it can give you ideas. In fact, there's things like, you know, say if you're snoring, you know, there's different beds that, you know, your partner can adjust that bed so you stop snoring, you know, and kind of brings you up a little bit. Yeah, how about that? All is available at Sleep Number, made in America, Consumer Reports number one bed. And, you know, and you can't get any higher than that. It's, like I said, made in America. It's guaranteed. And right now, you can save $600 on the Sleep Number i8 bed, rated number one by Consumer Reports. $600. Now, the only way you're going to be able to sleep better, get a great night's sleep the rest of your life, because these things, you know, Trish Clark will come in and tell you she's had hers for 15 years. And, they're, you know, like I said, it guarantees, warranties. And how much is a great night's sleep worth? Well, to me, with our type of job and our type of schedule, you can't ask for anything more than a great night's sleep, and that's what you get with Sleep Number. Head on down to the Target store or Target shopping center, and right there next to the vitamin shop over there is our Sleep Number store. It's like walking in to the future right there. See Brian or Janice, see anybody in there that can help you. Tell them that you heard it here on the show, on the station, and just let them know is that, hey, you know what, I want to sleep like Carl and Linda sleep. All right, we'll be right back right after these messages.
Hey, Dabarea here for my friends at Palomar Builders. Palomar respects this community and is committed to building the best and highest valued homes in Reading. It's all about improving and supporting the area we call home, the North State. That's why local subcontractors are such a huge part of the process and have helped make Palomar Builders' reputation what it is today. On the radio, Palomar Builders helps to make programs like Destination North State and Reading Colt 45's baseball possible here on KCNR. A trusted local builder for nearly 25 years, Palomar Builders.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Shopping local, staying local, builds a community.
Downtown Reading is the place to be. Stylish shops, trendy boutiques, fabulous food, and a whole lot of history. Shop local and support these amazing business owners. By shopping local, you help your community thrive. So what do you say? Let's meet downtown. Unique stores and more in beautiful downtown Reading.
Step away from the keyboard. Shop local in downtown Reading. VDRBA.org.
Let's get it started. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bach. Good morning. It is Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday, March the 11th. The time is 7:20. The temperature is 55. It's going to be, you know, some rain coming down right now. Got in the chat room. People are hearing their gutters. I was walking around out there in the rain today. Just kind of went out there, seeing how good it felt. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live. All right. Hey, number of things happening. the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms people who put out this a request for information from the public instead of just doing it, who wanted to ban the 5.56 and 0.223 ammo. You know, if it had a armor-piercing tip on it, went out for comments. They got 80,000 back. And, you know, the time period for comments ends next week. But they got 80,000 comments back. The vast, vast majority of them was don't do this. The senators, 52 senators, said, fine, we're going to – they sent him a letter saying, you want to do this? Then fine, maybe we should just defund this antiquated agency that runs Fast and Furious and all these other things and just give your – and give what you do to the FBI. Somebody can be trusted. And they hit this. And then so a week early, ATF says, you know what? It seems like there's a lot of people upset about this, so we're going to not do this now. We're going to spend another time looking how we're going to do it and give out another fact. You know, we'll give another time for people to make comments. But they backed down, backed off. They blinked because of the amount of people that cared. They came in there. Now, it's just at the same time they come up with a poll or a survey that this company does. It's a well-respected company from what I can read. It says that there's less people owning guns in the United States than there has been since the 70s. But I submit to you that part of that is because back in the 70s and 80s, we had our gun laws were relaxed. And then they started crunching down on everybody, started taking the guns, started making it harder for you to own a gun. And so that you wouldn't have one. Now that the Supreme Court has said you have a right to own a gun, that and protect yourself, that you're going to see more guns on the street or in the homes, at least, you know. So I don't know about on the street, but because people that want guns illegally on the street, they have, isn't that funny how they have ways of doing that? But you, as a legal citizen, you don't have those ways. Anyway, so all this comes out kind of at the same time. So I would imagine that the government who was trying to make a grab for your guns via your ammo, they said, well, wait a minute, there's a lot more 5.56 and 223 ammo out there. Absolutely is. I don't even know if I have any green tip ammo. I probably don't. But you know what? It doesn't, you know, that just means this. You're trying to say any ammo that can be shot out of a pistol. Well, there's almost any rifle ammo, for the most part, can be shot out of a pistol, in some of the pistols. So you can, it's just the first step. It's another one of those things about, okay, you ban lead. It's not banning lead to save condors. It's banning lead to stop hunting. Because once you stop hunting, then you can take away, you know, more guns. Unfortunately, if you stop hunting, then all these programs that hunters pay for, that will just disappear. Not saying is that there aren't other ways of using other types of ammo. Just is then it becomes another government entity sitting on your chest. Speaking of sitting on your chest, Hillary Clinton came out and answered. The reason I said sitting on your chest because after the news conference, everybody felt like kind of deflated or she came out yesterday and answered questions. She says that she did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. Nothing against the law. Yeah, maybe as I'm looking back, I probably should have used two servers. I should have used two different series here. Instead of using her own personal server at her house in New York, where she was putting things, she said, I didn't put anything across that was classified. I'm not sure how you can, you have secure email routes. I mean, you know, when you buy something online, it's a secure line there, which means is that you probably won't get hacked and you won't lose your money. You have that on Gov. You have that in the military. You send things out over a secure line because you're going to have to pass things back and forth. But she says that, no, she never had anything classified on that. And she said, we destroyed thousands of emails. They were personal emails, had nothing to do with running the government as Secretary of State. Really? How do we know that? How do we know that, Hillary? Because only you and your people know that. And you said you will not turn your server over to the people. the people who paid your salary, the people who have a right to this because you're a government employee. We have the right to see what was on that server. And frankly, I don't care about your yoga classes. I don't care about bridal gowns. I don't care about what Hillary had Bill did on her vacation. I don't want to know. I don't care. But I do want to know what was on there. I want to know that I want to know about things that were done, say, that you're calling personal. Like, how about millions and millions of dollars of donations that were flowing from the Middle East? That's not personal. Because that could have something to do with the Secretary of State. Why don't we just say, what about transparency? What about the law we have here? The only people who know what was destroyed on that server is Hillary and her close, intimate circle. How about these for questions, though? Who safeguarded the server? Secret Service. The Secret Service did the physical protection around the server. But who protected the server? Who was the team that ran the server? Do we know who it was? Was it a company, outside company? Who was it? And how do they know they weren't hacked? Because hacking, as we know from other countries, can get into almost everywhere. How do you know it wasn't hacked? What is considered personal? Again, donations, is that personal? What about that? And here's the other thing. Why did she violate the White House rule, which was very, very specific about using government email vice personal email? And what sensitive info was on that? Things like troop movements, how about just personalities? All these things that you could say are that were sensitive, but maybe not classified, that somebody might have been reading the whole time. And then the argument that, Clayton Powell did it, or Jeb Bush did it when he was governor. I hate to say this, but this is such a child's argument. It's a child's argument. To hear James Carville saying that, because he's trying to save Hillary is just kind of ludicrous. It's ludicrous because, he did it, she did it. If they did it, it's okay for you to do it. That's a child's argument. That's a little child's argument. Oh, he did it, so it's okay if I did it. Wrong. It's not right. Who in their right mind who would actually think to put all of the Secretary of State emails on a private server? And again, President Obama finding out something in the paper. I just woke up this morning. I was having breakfast in bed with Michelle, and there it was on the front page of the New York Times. I didn't know this. Well, Mr. President, you're finding out about Fast and Furious. You're finding out about the IRS probes. Finding out about Benghazi. The next morning you're flying out. I mean, if I was you, I would take your inner staff there or whoever brings you news and slap them. Tell them, there's certain things I need to know about. I don't believe he only found out about it then. I think that he knew about it way in advance. I think he knew about it probably last August when all the stuff was starting to break. Anyway, these are all questions Ms. Clinton needs to answer. If she doesn't answer them, but you know what? There was a great caption on a photo of her. She's laughing. She said, "Well, you pesky Republicans caught me again." And it said, "Doesn't make any difference." That was underneath it. "You pesky right wingers caught me again. Won't make any difference." And you know what? I'm not sure that she's not right, that she's going to lie, deny, and blame it on the Republican or on the far-right conspiracy here. I didn't do anything wrong, and then start pointing at other people. It's worked for the Clintons so much before. And the bottom line on this, my friends, is are they above the law? Are they above being held responsible for what they do? Are they above Ms. Clinton? Is she above being held to task for things that she does? And this, you can't tell me, is she just didn't think, this is okay. When they were not only were they briefed, but she also relieved an ambassador for doing the same thing. Think about this. Is this transparency that you really want in your elected officials? Do you want your elected officials to be above the law? President Obama appears to be above the law when he makes executive orders. But Clinton here is doing things that were just, you could almost say are against the law. And yet, I bet right now, as we get ready to take this break, is she'll walk. She'll walk on it. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, KCNR, 1460.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSync. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS, and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
That'll help you keep up with technology.
To honor our local World War II veterans, join Classic Cafe's Kathy and Millie on March 21st at 5 p.m. for their scrumptious spaghetti dinner. It's a fundraiser for Shasta County's Community Honor Flight. It will be held at the Veterans Memorial Hall in Reading. The cost is $15. There's going to be lots of prizes, drawings, great food. Tickets can be bought at the Classic Cafe, 2427 Athens Avenue, or you can call 357-3380.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Well, maybe it's me when I big Saturday night.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, with Carl and Linda Baugh. Linda is fighting whatever's going around that my guests are bringing in here.
Yes, I have it. I'm sorry, Carl.
Right, there you go. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Owens and Owens Pharmacy. 6 pharmacies in town open Monday through Friday. Most of them, 9 to 6. Owens Pharmacy, 2 things I want to talk about real quick is their MedSync program, which takes all your prescriptions and or 1 prescription or 2 prescriptions or 12 prescriptions, and they have them all come up on one day, become due on one day, so you only have to make 1 phone call, 1 trip to pick up all your prescriptions. Imagine how easy that is. Now, here's the best part is if you can't make it to pick up your prescriptions, Owens delivers for free. We'll deliver them right to your home for free. You can't beat that. And another really strong reason to go to Owens Pharmacy. The pharmacists there have got your back. They know you. They don't cycle through there every month like some of the big box stores. They're there. This is their job. They know their customers. They get a prescription that's different. They're going to check with the doctor. They're going to check with you just to make sure you are getting the right prescriptions. That's Owens Pharmacy. We use them. And locally owned, locally operated. Great success story here. Okay. Grapes of Wrath. Another happy, that's another one of those children's tales, is playing at the Riverfront Playhouse. I'm here with Dan Kupski. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
And Samantha Fork, who is the director.
The
yes.
director.
Good morning.
So, good morning. So, Samantha, tell me about this. Tell me about Grapes of Wrath.
It is the John Steinbeck classic. It's the Joad family, if you're not familiar with the story. The Joads are kicked off of their farm in Oklahoma in the 1930s during the Dust Bowl, and they pack up and head west to basically the promised land, California, to find out it is not nearly as sunny as they think it's going to be.
Not quite the promised land.
Not quite the promised land.
It was, of course, it was a wonderful book. Pulitzer Prize, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think
or,
so.
Or play. No, book. Was it a book or play?
It was a book.
And then, of course, the movie was
yes.
so powerful. Henry Fonda.
Henry Fonda was nominated for an Academy Award.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was great. So is it hard to put on such a famous work?
Well, of course, it's hard to – you want to live up to the story, but – with my cast that I have, they've all taken on their characters and worked so hard and have really brought it to life that it got pretty easy for me. I just had to tell them where to stand, basically.
I don't think so.
Learn like, your lines.
It's like herding cats. She's got a cast of 19.
It is a little like herding cats sometimes.
Well, you know, the it's a cast of 19.
Cast wow. of 19.
Okay, and for Dan, are you in this?
Yes, I am. I play Pa Joad. I wow. got old people roles now, so I'm Pa Joad.
Top typecasting there.
Yes,
You're no longer the young guy, huh? What did you get out of this? When you take a part on, because you know you play, you're very very of course very
easy.
Well, you're very much into. You're acting and the Riverfront Playhouse.
Well,
and you play different parts. So
yeah, and this is great. This is a sort of a coming out party for me. And I've always done the comedies and the light stuff. And I always wanted to do something serious. And this came along, and I've always wanted to work with Samantha because she's just absolutely brilliant.
Oh,
so
thank
it's a great challenge. So you know, this is not a comedy, and so I get to do a somewhat serious role and. We got some unbelievable quality actors in this, and so that's the challenge. It's you know, you're not trying to make people laugh; you're trying to tell a story. And these people, this is Americana. This actually happened. The Joad story is the story of you know thousands of people that came out of the Dust Bowl, came to California, and were the land of dreams. And it wasn't what they expected.
No,
it was before immigration, and they came out to pick fruit, and people used them and abused them, and they. Called them Okies, and it's about discrimination, and it's a story of survival is what it is, and a lot of people live this story.
Very intense.
Yes.
Very intense.
Yes.
It's not – is it something children would understand?
There are – I think that it is a good learning experience for them. Maybe not the real young ones, but I know they do have to read it still in high school, and it's mm-hmm. a great learning experience because they're getting the information about the time period in a – more entertaining way.
Yeah, I'd say anybody you know over 12. You know,
yeah.
I would say it's about that range. I mean, we're not throwing F bombs and you know anything like that in the play, but it's heavy. So I think anybody over 12 would understand the concept of it.
There's some things you might have to talk about on the way home.
Yeah,
but nothing terrible. No.
Oh, okay. You know the thing that I've noticed is that you know when we have plays like this. That when they're rich in dialogue, and they're telling a story like this, a lot of times people who have never been exposed to it come out of there thinking to themselves, "Oh my gosh, you know, this is very reflective of what's happening in my life, or maybe not my life, but what I see today." And to think of this when it was written and how powerful it was and what an impact it had back then, too. I mean.
Oh, there are some powerful lines. John Welch, who's a gifted local talent, you saw him. He played the Great and Powerful Oz when the Cascade Theater did Oz. He's done many shows at Riverfront. He's on TV doing commercials. He's a brilliant community theater actor that came up here from Southern California several years ago. And he's worth the price of admission because he plays Reverend Jim Casey, a person that was a reverend, now he's not anymore, and he's questioning because of the depression and the Dust Bowl and all the struggle these people have gone through, and he's questioning his beliefs and that value system, and he's got some lines that are just powerful, very powerful.
And the points they make in the play are just as relevant today as they were when it was written. I mean, honestly, right now, it's very relevant as to what's going on.
Are we getting people here from Oklahoma?
I don't know how many Oklahoma people there are. But
we are seeing them underneath the bridge, though, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's quite the same.
Okay, well, good. Okay, now how do people get tickets to this?
They get tickets by going to the Cascade Theater box office. We open this Saturday, the 14th. It runs through April 11th. So we open Saturday night, the 14th of March, go through April 11th. Tickets at the Cascade Theater box office. And this Friday is our preview night. It's sort of like a dress rehearsal. And we have open seating, and tickets are $10 each at the door. So we have Friday nights and Saturday nights at 7:30 and Sunday matinees at 2. So
now, and on Wednesday night?
Wednesday night, the 18th.
A week from today.
Yeah, Wednesday night, the 18th, is our media night. And I think you have tickets to give away to your audience.
I have two tickets we can give away right now.
People call in and get a ticket.
Wrath. You know, this is really a great play. And you can go there and you can enjoy yourself there at Riverview. Plus, the fact is that I'm sorry, Riverfront, not Riverview, because I'm getting ready to talk about Riverview. At Riverfront. And, you know, there's no bad seats in the house.
No.
And you're
so
right there. It feels like you're almost part of what's going on the stage. And so, in fact, if you come in early, you could probably get a part as an extra.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll have you walk across, give you some dirty clothes to wear.
And Sam designed such a great set. It's worth just to see this Hudson Super 6 that sits in the center of the stage that the Jode family travels in. It's quite brilliant. And if I could sneak in just a plug,
Sure. You
know, Riverfront's really working hard to build a community theater downtown, which is actually a performing arts center, so that we can be there for community theater, so that Reading Improv can be there, so that other musical groups can come in there. And so it'll just be a great asset to downtown. But we have a fundraiser coming up May the 7th, tickets and everything available to Cascade Theater box office. We're bringing to town, for the first time, an Elton John impersonator. The guy's name is Craig Myers. He is Elton John. And it's a tribute to Elton John. It's called Rock and Roll Legends, Elton John. And he's got the tribute, the Rocket Band. It's going to be a spectacular show, May the 7th, at the Cascade Theater. And we're going to have a little soiree prior to the show at our lot at Pine and Placer.
Okay, so tell us where you're at right now.
Right now we're at 1620 East Cypress, which is a little warehouse district.
No, I know that one. I mean, where are we at with the construction of the new place?
Where are we at?
That's how much is that going to be?
Oh, well, you know, we're in a process right now, Carl, of reevaluating. We had what we wanted to build, and right now we're dealing with costs and the astronomical increase in costs.
Oh yeah,
and
how do those permits and fees go?
Oh, that's not good. So what we're doing right now, we're reevaluating and we're seeing exactly what we need, downsizing a little bit, changing things, and trying to make it work. I think we can do it. We just have to cut some corners. We're working with the architect, working with our contractor, and so we're working close to trim some of the things off that maybe we don't need that much. And you know, do we need a rehearsal space right in there, or can we rent it outside? We're just trying to cut costs right now, and we're dealing with the same issue that a lot of other people are. One is prevailing wage. It's a big chunk. So we're working hard on that, but we still want to make this a go, and we still hope to get things going and open this thing at the end of 2016.
Have you thought about – remember the old Chautauqua days?
Boy, there's a new one on me. Chautauqua?
Chautauqua. Those were those traveling shows that went around the East Coast, and they had tents.
Oh.
I mean, you know, just might think about it. You put up a big tent, kind of like a circus.
I'm pretty young.
I don't remember that. I don't either. But I've seen them in old movies, you know, back movies from the 30s. I would just think, you know, you might just throw up a tent for if it's good weather and just have them out there and charge people like crazy and –
And what do you do in the rain, Carl?
Well, it's in the summer here. Of course, then what do you do for air conditioning?
As
they lay there and sweat.
Chautauqua, it's an Indian word for you sweat in tent.
You sweat in tent. Okay. Hey, Dan Kupski and Samantha Fork here. Grapes of Wrath, it's a great play, great cast in it, and Samantha knows what she's doing. She's been around here and doing some great, great, great plays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And,
come out and say it.
Yeah, we'll get these tickets given away. Remember, we have two tickets, 605-4567. Give us a call, and you can get two tickets. These are $100 tickets. Okay, maybe they're not. Okay, they're not $100 tickets, but they are tickets to see a great play on Wednesday, March 18th. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I've been in practice for 10 years as owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. Not only do we have fun seeing entire families and athletes, but we see the hard workers of this town. We love our occupational athletes. Work better, feel better, reduce injury, prevent chronic disease, boost metabolism, increase energy and productivity, live a healthier and pain-free life with my new exercise app for your phone and computer. Check us out on Facebook at HealthWise Chiropractic. For a free one-month trial, use Dr. Maria 1. We love our occupational athletes at HealthWise Chiropractic.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Come learn how you could be on the Shasta County Grand Jury. Come to the informational meeting Wednesday, March 18th at 3 o'clock at Reading City Hall. The grand jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability in our local governments, agencies, and officials. If you can serve 15 to 20 hours a week for a year, are a good listener, able to ask thoughtful questions, and can work as a team with other interesting people, then come learn more at this informational meeting. You'll be able to ask questions of former grand jurors, a Superior Court judge, and county officials.
I feel I helped do important work representing the public in looking at local governments and agencies.
I met our community leaders and learned so much.
For me, it's important to watch how taxpayers' money is spent.
Come to the informational meeting Wednesday, March 18th at 3 o'clock at Reading City Hall. If you don't ask the tough questions, who will? See you at the meeting.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. The time is 7:47. The temperature is 55 today, and our phone lines are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, everybody. I'm having to restart my computer, so I'm kind of off the chat room right now. The Verizon Tower going up at Riverview looks like it's going to go up. There was, you know, some people that live around there that said, you know, we don't know if this is a great idea. But the board voted unanimously to put up an 80-foot tower there, disguised as a pine tree, in off the driving range at Riverview. Okay. The couple other things. They're having a meeting. They're having a fact-finding commission, another one here for the spotted owl. If you remember back in 1994, this is information to update the plan that was made 20 years ago. And they're saying is that things have changed, and they're actually going to meet. They're going to meet in a number of places, but one place is at Reading right here from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday at the Red Lion Hotel. And the this is going to be this Wednesday. Well, now, that means today. March the 25th, so it would be a week from today. No, it's 2 weeks from today. The Reading meeting is from 5:30 to 8:30 at the Red Lion Inn, and the Forest Service is committed to the original tenets and principles of the Northwest Forest Plan, said Jim Pina, regional forester for Oregon, Washington. We want to share what we've learned in the thinking and listen to others' ideas. Now, it was court battles that started this whole thing over the spotted owl in the late 1980s and early 90s, and the plan affected land use over 24 million acres a forest in Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. But Steve Brink, Vice President of Public Resources from the California Forestry Association, said it's time to update this. When the plan was adopted in 1994, Brink said they thought 3,000 spotted owls were in California, Oregon, and Washington. But further research has shown since 1994 that at least 3,000 spotted owls are in Northern California just by itself. Of course, the other side then says is it's funny how one person says, you know what, we've done these studies and this is what we have. And the answer to this is, I would suggest this man does not know what he's talking about. And this is from Denise Boggs, who is the executive director of the Conservation Congress, saying the number of spotted owls has fallen because the Forest Service has not followed the requirements of the forest plan. His numbers are wrong. So, you know, I always find it. I mean, do we ever find that where two groups actually say, oh, yeah, his numbers are good. You know, you're right. You know, things have changed. Do you think that would ever happen? How about Al Sharpton saying, hey, yeah, this shooting had nothing to do with racism. Had nothing to do with the black and white. And speaking of which, the Department of Justice stories have come out. Their two findings have come out. About Ferguson and Michael Brown. The shooting of Michael Brown, and this is the Department of Justice who went through hundreds of witnesses, did everything they possibly could, I'm sure, to find out what happened and what it's come up. And it's kind of interesting how they both came out the same day, and the only one Obama commented on was that, well, it appears that the Ferguson Police Department is discriminating against blacks. And we'll talk about that in a second. But he never said a word about the Michael Brown findings, where they found that he didn't get shot in the back. He didn't have his hands up. And isn't this interesting how everybody said he had his hands up, including, you know, congressmen on the floor of the House and athletes running out with their hands up. Oh, my, you know, when they found that nothing like that ever happened. And that the fact is that Brown attacked a policeman inside the car, and there's DNA evidence of that. He's punching out the officer, and then the guy had taken things. He had terrorized the owner of the liquor store, whatever store he was in, when he took it. And this is what it was found, is that this was a legitimate, unfortunate, absolutely unfortunate, did not have to happen if the guy had just turned around and done what the policeman had said, get out of the street, if he'd just done that. But Michael Brown made a choice. He made a series of choices which led to him being killed. And the Department of Justice has said there's nothing here that says his hands were up. Nothing shows, you know, there's absolutely no proof or anything close to proof that shows that he was shot in the back or anything. I don't remember President Obama mentioning that one. On the other hand, the Ferguson report comes out from the Department of Justice and says that there seems to be a systematic prosecution of blacks in Ferguson, that they're being stopped more, they're being fined more. City manager Ferguson was either fried. He was either fired or he quit here yesterday. And the reason behind that is the fact is that he was encouraging police to get tough out there and, more arrest, more fines meant more money to the city. I think you got to find that across the country, there's probably a lot of people, a lot of city managers that say that, or by tacitly say, hey, you know, we need some more money, so they write more tickets and all this. But the point is that they're saying, well, it was more blacks picked on. Well, you know, you get into statistics about, you know, are blacks overrepresented in the number of arrests and those picked up. And in the case of Ferguson, when it was 64%, I think, of the town was black, and there may have been, I don't know, 75% of those stopped and all that. I think you need to look into all that. But I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not sure is that you can say there's a culture of discrimination against blacks in Ferguson. And in this case with Michael Brown, he, and again, it's how unfortunate, he's 18 years old. He brought it on himself when he refused to get out of the street. Everything escalated after that. So is it better? Things going to be changed? I'm not sure. Then I see down in Oregon University. I'm sorry, Oklahoma University. Elton, you weren't here yesterday. Get on the radio here. You go to college. You're in the university. You're getting ready to graduate. Did you see what happened down there with the racial song they were singing?
I did not.
Okay, turn off the microphone. It was the Sorry, son. I just thought everybody had heard about that. Have you been in been underneath a rock or something here? No. Probably much. Pretty much. That's right. You're practicing. You got games going. That's right. You're out there every day. But that's exactly what happens when you go to college. You know, if you watch Waters World, he comes up and he asks college students things like, so, when was the Constitution signed? Or when was the Declaration of Independence? Whoa. You get things like, for America? You know, college students. Because you're learning all this stuff, but not necessarily everything. What happened in Oregon, I mean, in Oklahoma, is on a bus, a fraternity, the SAEs, I don't know, I think that's their fraternity, was chanting and singing this extremely racist song. And the N-word was used all the time. Well, I mean, and then somebody recorded it, put it up on the internet. Of course, it just went totally viral, as it probably should have. The fraternity was thrown off the campus. The national fraternity just disbanded it. And two students got kicked out. Two of the ones they could identify were singing the song. It was the leader, and who has since apologized by saying, "I am absolutely, heartbroken that I did something stupid." And you know, the thing about it is it was stupid. And how long do you hold 20-year-olds responsible for doing really stupid things? The fact is, though, is he got expelled from the university. He and this other guy got expelled from the university for providing a climate that's not conducive to for education. I'm a little bit. I got a little problems with that one, throwing people out for that, because then you could get rid of half your instructors. But the bottom line here on this is that the football team marched off, and along with the coach and other players, to show that this was wrong. The head of the Black Student Union there, his comments were, is that, you know what, he said, you can't change hate with hate. You got to change hate with love. And he says, I'd like to meet him and talk to him about this, because he can, he's not going to be able to look me in the face and call me these names. The thing about it, though, on this whole thing is was it overblown? And if you didn't have the internet, it would never happened. You would have never seen it. Nothing would have ever happened about it, but it did. And it's good it did, because I think the overwhelming revulsion of people to hear this, these are college students singing something like this, and everybody laughing and chanting and all this, is remarkable. The other thing is that people did not agree with this. Not one of them stood up and said, this is wrong, guys. Hey, what are you possibly thinking to be singing this? There won't be any standing next to me. They'll be hanging from a tree. I mean, come on. This is the whole thing. But I think the way that Oklahoma handled this was the right way. Immediately took steps. There wasn't the president said, we're going to have a fact-finding committee. What he did was, he shut down the fraternity. He threw it off campus. He gave him 24 hours to find a new place to live. He found out who did it. He expelled him from school. So kudos to Oklahoma for taking some great steps in this. Now let's talk about the University of California, Irvine, where their student council voted to take out the American flag. Take the American flag out of the community building there because it would keep people from being able to speak freely, because though it stands for a lot of nice things, it also stands for imperialism. Well, you take a look at the photos of these people there, and there's no Smiths or Jones on this. and it's just an interesting group that I saw a picture of. At least it's purported to be a picture of the ones who voted to do this. But then another student group, that was above this student council group, voted, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. That's stupid. And so so they're going to let the American flag and the other flags of the country still be there in this area. But where are we at now? Where are we at that we can that this actually happens in America, that they vote to take down the flag because it stands for imperialism? I'm just, this is higher education that we're, that your tax dollars are going to support these asses. And then somebody wrote, hey, they're only 20. Give them a break. Everybody does stupid things. Now, I wonder if that person says the same thing about the fraternity guys that were saying that horrendous. They were singing that horrendous chant. Are you going to – I don't think – did you say that about them too? We're going to be back in a couple minutes. Yeah, I've got about 30 seconds left here. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. What can I say except the finest tobacco emporium and the best coffee at Espresso Joe's you're going to find in Northern California, and a walk-in humidor that will just knock your socks off. And veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Head on down there. Get that coffee. Get that tea. Get that brew. We'll be right back after these messages with Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Military officials say crews have found human remains after the crash of an Army helicopter over waters off the coast of Florida. Seven Marines and four soldiers are presumed to have died. The crash took place during a nighttime training mission. Heavy fog has been hampering the search efforts. Three of the nation's top national security officials, meanwhile, defending President Barack Obama's proposal for new war powers to fight Islamic State terrorists. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter among the supporters.
It provides the necessary and authority and flexibility to wage our current campaign, and because it will demonstrate to our men and women in uniform, some of whom are in harm's way right now, that all of us stand unflinchingly behind them.
Meanwhile, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee says that so far, no Democrat in Congress has shown their support behind the president's request. House Republicans, meanwhile, ratcheting the pressure on Hillary Clinton to turn her email server over to an independent investigator.
South Carolina's Trey Gowdy said again that Clinton shouldn't be the one deciding which of her emails are personal and which are official. Gowdy acknowledged that Congress can't force her to do so, but appearing on MSNBC, he says she should turn it over voluntarily. Gowdy, who chairs the House committee investigating Benghazi, says he's only interested in those emails, but he says other committees may be interested in other communications.
That's SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. A French official says a man and a teenager who appear in an Islamic State video showing the murder of a Palestinian man have been identified as French citizens. The official, who has close ties to intelligence services, also says authorities are investigating whether the man has links to the family of the Islamic extremist who attacked a Jewish school and paratroopers in southern France back in 2012. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 30 points. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
What does it mean to believe?
From the creators of God's Not Dead, 12 unique lives, 12 different stories, one path will bring them all together. This spring, the world will be asking,
do you believe in Jesus?
Do you believe? Academy Award winner Mira Sorvino, Sean Astin, Alexa Penavega, Ted McGinley, and Andrea Logan White. Do you believe? Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters March 20th. Find a theater at doyoubelieve.com.
North Carolina environmental officials say they're fining Duke Energy $25 million over pollution that's been seeping into groundwater for years from a pair of coal ash pits at a retired power plant.
The state environmental department issued the fine over ongoing contamination at the L.V. Sutton Electric Plant outside Wilmington. The site includes a pair of unlined dumps estimated to hold 2.6 million tons of ash. The department's director says the state wants to hold Duke accountable for years of pollution. The department says monitoring wells near Duke's dumps at Sutton showed readings exceeding state groundwater standards for several toxic chemicals.
That is SRN's Jeremy House reporting. A French palace and a British museum have joined the growing list of global tourist attractions to ban so-called selfie sticks, devices visitors use to improve their snapshots, but which critics say are obnoxious and potentially dangerous. Officials at the Chateau de Versailles and Britain's National Gallery announced the ban today. This is SRN News. A bipartisan group of senators introducing a bill that would legalize the use of medical marijuana nationwide. Here's SRN's Linda Kenyon.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says medical marijuana, in many cases, is the only drug that can provide relief from a host of medical conditions, and she thinks she can convince her fellow senators to agree.
I dare any senator to meet these patients here and say to them they don't deserve the medicine that their doctors prescribed.
One of those patients is 4-year-old Morgan Hintz, whose epileptic seizures are uncontrollable except through the help of medical marijuana. Her mother is Kate.
She has trialed and failed over 10 different anti-seizure medications.
That's SRN's Linda Kenyon reporting. Nut rage is in the news again. A flight attendant suing Korean Airlines and the former executive who flew into a rage over a bag of macadamia nuts on a flight from New York. Kim Do-hee claims a bizarre onboard tantrum ruined her career. She's asking for compensation. More details at srnnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. The time is 8:05 in the morning here on the 11th of March. It's 54 degrees out there today, and it looks like we're going to have a little rain today and this evening. It's going to start clearing up tomorrow and Friday. They're going to be Friday night. It's going to start getting cloudy. Thursday, we're going to have mostly clear with a little around 51. Today, of course, 50% chance of showers before 11 p.m., but right now, chance of precipitation, since it looks like it's out there raining right now. In this area, it looks like 100%. Now, in other areas, it's 70%. It's going to clear up tomorrow. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high near 78 again, and then looking like maybe Saturday and Sunday may get a chance of more rain, which isn't that great. A lot of things going on this weekend. Wild Turkey Foundation, Festa Italiana, where we're going to be at. Just a lot of great, great places and things going on. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Alliance Heating and Air. You know, you're looking at having your, taking care of your house, taking care of getting ready for the summer. Because obviously we have skipped spring as we're heading into the warm weather again. Are the filters in your air conditioner, have they been looked at in a year? How about your air ducts? What about all of those things that Alliance Heating and Air can do? What if you need a new system? If you talk to Martin and his people, they can come up with a plan. They'll produce a plan that's going to take care of you at the lowest possible cost for your cost of your keeping your house cool and comfortable. With experience of over 20 years right here in the North State, all types of heating and cooling systems, Alliance Heating and Air can do the job for you. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service if you have an emergency. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air is a veteran-owned business, locally owned, locally operated. I'm sitting here in on his show, the Redding Police Chief Rob Pelletti. And I'm just throwing that out there. There was an article written in a comment that something about you having your own show and it's, you know, you're more into publicity and that kind of stuff. And my comment on that is I have the sheriff, I have all those city leaders on, I have the congressman on, I have everybody, you know, no matter who they are, because I like to get the information out. But right, you know, I think people enjoy being able to ask the police chief a question or the sheriff a question about why things are going on, why things are happening, and there are a lot of things going on right now.
There's a lot going on right now, and you know, I mean, I made a commitment when I became the chief to be accessible to the public and make it to where, you know, people could get the information straight from me, and this show is one of those conduits to do that. And I'm also on other radio stations and the town hall meetings and everything else.
There's other radio stations in town?
Yeah. So, you know,
you're not on them like you are here.
I do about a 10-minute spot once a month on another show.
Yeah,
and
10 minutes?
You know, I
what are they thinking of, Lon?
I can't say anything in 10 minutes. Anybody that knows me knows that.
Okay, at the end of that, I mean, we've got your name. We've got, hey, how's it going? Oh, good, you know. So, anyway.
But, you know, I make myself accessible to the media and everyone else so that, you know, it's you know, it comes straight from the chief. And, you know, if I take some criticism for that, then that's okay. I'm not going to change what I'm doing because of that.
If I hear one criticism and I hear a thousand attaboys, you know, I look at the criticism because I see if there's anything valid to it.
I
mean, like the one that wrote that said he met me once and I didn't seem particularly intelligent. okay, I always keep that one. You know, when you think you do something good, and, you know, I read that, though. It keeps me – I like to think it keeps me grounded. It's like when the emperors would come back in from – and no, I'm not comparing myself to a Roman emperor. But they'd be riding through after they've done all – you know, they conquered another whatever they're doing. There was a slave – okay, there's a good part. A slave was standing next to him and whispering in their ear, remember, thou art not a god. To remind them of this, as all these people, thousands of people are cheering. I think we need to have a GS2 – I'm not equating them to slaves. Stand next to the president and leaders of the Senate, the leaders of the Congress, and all these people should be standing next to him saying, remember, thou art not a god. You know, and remember the people elected you. I mean, those are kind of things. I mean, you know, you start seeing stuff which has nothing to do with any subject we're talking about today.
Well, I look at all the, you know, criticism and other things and try to – you know, give honest answers. You know, you're not always going to agree with me, but, you know, to me it's important to at least mm-hmm. know where I stand and, you know, Absolutely. Try to put out good information yeah. that can help the community make positive change.
Okay. A lot of things have been happening. Gosh, I mean, there's a huge cleanups going.
Yeah.
Are those still going on?
Yeah, we've, you know, the city council authorized the hiring of a couple to enhance the code enforcement effort.
Yeah.
And you've got a retired police officer and a retired code enforcement officer. There's been a major cleanup down below Hempstead that the private property owner has done, and they've been very cooperative. The Linden Canyon cleanup, Nick Bundy and I and Joni Morrison worked on that for, you know, 8-9 months with Erica in our office who put together all the binders and coordinated, you know, all the consent to enforce to make sure that we could do that cleanup legally. And, you know, then those two came in and really helped speed that process. We're working on another big property up of Oasis Road that they're working on now with the property owner, and then the property owners behind the Masonic. And, you know, it would be nice if we had all the resources to be able to help every private property owner as well. We just don't have enough. We got one guy, Bob Brannon, and now the two code enforcement guys that do it. But private property owners have a lot more ability to clean that stuff up a lot faster than we do.
But you can threaten them, right?
We can. We'd prefer not to.
I don't mean threaten him like, hey, my name's Guido, and you put a gun up against their head. But you can say, hey, look, if you don't start cleaning your property up, it's going to cost you $1,000 a day.
Right. There's administrative sanctions that can be put in place.
Sure.
And, you know, we try to that's not the desired effect. We want, you know, once the private property owner, some of them are out of town, and once they're notified of the problem, you know, having them go clean it up themselves is always the best path.
When they catch the illegals at these camps, they should tag them before releasing. That way they could find them in the next camp. Catch and release. Tag them.
Yeah.
Okay, that was cold. I'm surprised you said that.
You know, there's quite a bit that, you know, is when you have 148,000 pounds worth of trash removed from transient camps in our community, there's a lot of environmental damage that's taking place there and a lot of degradation of our public open spaces, which is what attracts people to Reading, and we need to be able to protect that.
I know, and you hear this all the time, that, okay, you know, we know what the problem is, and we know we're fighting it, but is it getting any better?
I don't know. I mean, we're going to keep fighting that fight.
I mean, you can't give up. But is it getting any better? Is there less stuff? Is there less transits or less illegal camps?
No, I think we move them right now. I mean, I think there's other things that have to go into play. You know, we need, you know, an increase in our mental health capacity to be able to deal with those that are mentally ill so that they're not living in those camps. We need, you know, Reading doesn't, I don't think, has enough, you know, affordable housing so that, you know, those that do have jobs. But, you know, we're running into some of these people. There's a couple that we ran into. They both work full time. Their combined monthly income is over $3,500 a month. But they're living in a transient camp because they've been evicted 7 times. They're just bad tenants. So no one will rent to them. So, you know, how do we, you know, find a way to get those people, you know.
Come on. Really?
Absolutely.
They
make $3,500 a month and
they've
got to
live in a legal camp because
nobody will rent to them. So, you know, what is it? why are they getting evicted? What is the circumstances? And that's what we talk to them about is, are you not paying your rent? Are you too noisy? Are you, you know, what are the reasons that you're getting evicted? Because, you know, obviously they don't know how to be a good tenant if they're a renter. So how do you get them that education so that they can be a good tenant so that they're not living homeless when between the two of them, they're making obviously enough money
to live in a place.
To live in a place. Yeah. So there's a lot of different factors that go into it.
What kind of jobs do they have?
One works retail and one works food service. So, you know, I mean, they're hardworking. They work full time, but you know, you got to make sure that you pay your rent on time, you know, you don't make, you know, it's just being a good neighbor.
Yeah. Okay. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Plating. We asked the question, is it getting any better? And it's not. You know, the way of combating it, the way of handling it is getting better because there's going to be more people hired as we can push and all this. But okay, we're going to take a break right now. Chief, and the question I want to ask you, is it time to build affordable housing someplace for these people? We'll be right back. This is Carl Bott here to tell you about the good folks at Muse Concrete. Boyce and Joan Muse, along with their fantastic crew, have been bringing homes, parks, stadiums, and so much more to the Reading community for over three decades. Muse Concrete is also proud to bring exciting programs like Destination North State, high school football, and Reading Colt 45's baseball to the airwaves right here on KCNR 1460. Muse Concrete, an uncompromising commitment to quality and integrity since 1982. Check them out online, museconcrete.com. Great people doing great work.
For a tax pro who not only understands taxes but can review your investments to help lower your tax bill, call Tom Wood, Certified Financial Planner with the Advice Center. He specializes in tax preparation for businesses and investors. If you have a business or you've lost a spouse who took care of the taxes and investments and you want an experienced, compassionate advisor, call the Advice Center at 244-7526. This month, Tom's offering a free investment tax review and a financial bingo evening at Tortilla Flats Restaurant on February 25th at 7 p.m. Tom will be joined by estate planning attorney Deanne Parker to answer your tax and legal questions. For great food, fun, and a chance to ask how to avoid probate costs, or if you need a trust, call 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. For experienced tax preparation, a free investment tax review, or to attend our financial bingo event, call 244-PLAN or go to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be three or four or five trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
This is awesome, Uncle Vince.
Are you ready to make your first Mary's delivery?
Yeah, what are we delivering?
You can order anything off Mary's menu for delivery. So we have spaghetti with meatballs, tortellini, bruschetta, chicken parmigiana, gnocchi.
Shh, eyes on the road. Hands at 10 and 2.
10 and 2?
Test the horn.
I'm not going to test the horn.
Horn check.
Thanks for testing the horn. It works.
How's the engine temperature?
It's fine.
Maybe I should check on the meatballs in case they're rolling around back there.
No.
This is a pretty nice car. This isn't your car, is it?
Yeah, this is my car.
Really? Huh. Wow, wouldn't have guessed that.
Original recipes. Original Shack. Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Send me an angel. Send me an angel. Right now.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's under the weather a little bit here today. But I'm not. March the 11th, Wednesday. It is 8:20 in the morning, 54 degrees out there. The weather is always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where their customers are warm friends, locally owned, locally operated. Give them a call, 365-3793, and it's a better-known business and a locally owned business. Phone lines here, 605-4567. If you have a question for the chief, here's a good chance to ask him. This portion of the show is brought to you by Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair. From chips to cracks over 24 inches in length, Jeff Wurst can fix them, and he guarantees his work. If you can't do it, if you can't handle it, he'll just tell you up front, tell you, hey, you're going to need to go someplace else. Honesty, integrity, Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair, another veteran-owned business. Are we starting to see a pattern here? Reading Police Chief Rob Lay, the question I asked when we left was, is it time to provide affordable housing? Say, we see these different things putting up 50, 60, 70, 100 of these little houses, these little bitty houses. Because I saw them there at the Shasta RV show. You know, they're little houses, but they're expensive. I think you can build these other, like, it's like 600 square feet, kind of throw them up there, and they're not that expensive.
Well, there's two gentlemen looking at doing that project.
Yeah, Doug Christian is doing it.
Yeah, and I met with him, I told him my concern with that is like my concern with anything, whether it be a liquor license or anything else. How am I going to police it? How many calls for service are you going to generate? And, how are you going to ensure that the police aren't called there on a consistent basis and taking up police resources?
Yeah.
He actually sounded like he had a good plan for that. There's also another.
About how they're going to have fences around mm-hmm. it and be policing, self-policing, and they were going to be ruthless when it came to things like that just by tossing people out.
There's another low-income housing project that the city's been working with a builder on, and I think that we need some of that for those mm-hmm. that want that help. The problem is not so much those that want the help and will take the help. It's those that don't want the help. I mean,
they like this lifestyle.
No, there's a guy that walks around downtown. He's actually got stupid tattooed across his forehead. And he tells my officers, I don't care what you guys give me or what you do. This is how I choose to live, and this is how I'm going to live like this. So arrest me all you want. That's that group, that criminal transient population, where we need to focus our attention and figure out.
Come on. He doesn't really have stupid
tattooed.
He has stupid tattooed on his forehead.
So, we've got to find ways to deal with that group because that's the group that's causing the problem. I said before, not all homeless commit crimes. Not all criminals are homeless.
Of course not.
But that criminal transient population that's laying around our parks, drinking, doing drugs, and that's where our focus is. And do I think that more low-income housing will help them? Not until they choose to make a life change. And that's where we're going to continue to focus the enforcement side of this.
I had a couple of your officers on after you were on mm-hmm. last month. Eye-opening. Your guys are out there on the street. And they have got – they're very, very I guess their opinions are very strong because of all the things they see out here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they see is a number of – any time that they have so many calls for assistance – at places like, I guess, Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of calls. At what point does the city go to the owners of Safeway, the National Corp, and say, all right, buddy, you can help start paying for the policing here?
Well,
and start charging like you did some of these hotels around here. So every time you come, it's going to be $100.
We met with the district management of Safeway and made some suggestions to them, and they're going to make some changes. On their idea, they're going to close their store at midnight so that, that population moves away, and they're not, providing them a place to hang out 24 hours a day. They're going to, get their security out of the store and out into the parking lots and push them out of the parking lot so that people feel safe.
But wasn't one of them almost tased the other day by one of our people trying to steal stuff from there?
Yeah.
An
18-year-old? Well, and some of the problems that you get into is when you get, national corporate America is, they want unarmed security. Because that lowers their liability.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got a person that's supposed to go push out a criminal transient population that isn't even allowed to have pepper spray. I always make suggestions that, pay for the higher level of security.
How about fencing that place in?
I mean, that's up to them. I mean, I don't. If you're going to fence it and then open the gates,
yeah,
you know, it really doesn't. It doesn't provide that much.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, but it's still once you close it off in the evenings.
Once you close it off in the evenings, then it would be a huge help. But once the store's closed and there's no foot traffic there, they leave. Because it's the foot traffic that they want to be able to panhandle from, or you know, try to get other things. So,
intimidate.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of calls for service there since they changed their hours and you know during the times that they're closed. So
that's a good positive change.
Yeah. So you know, working with the businesses to try to find solutions and working with you know the different organizations that are dealing with this transient population, that's really where the change is going to come.
What businesses are you having with the most problems?
Well, you know, the C.R. Gibbs is, you know, in the hotels along Hilltop Drive. They're constantly going through and chasing out, you know, transients, looking in cars and other things, the malls, the grocery stores. Anywhere you have a congregation of people where they can panhandle or there's a congregation of vehicles to steal from, that's where we're seeing the problems. And that's what the bike patrol was really kind of intended to.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the alcove and go by the alcove at the Lorenz Hotel in the mornings, that alcove is disgusting. And, you know, poor Sam Allen and Deja Vu and the businesses that are there have to deal with that on a daily basis.
Can't you – that alcove, that's that downstairs?
Yeah.
That goes into a church?
There's a church in there that has to clean up all the time.
Why don't they put a gate right there so you can't
get
down?
Well, once again, that's a private property owner that's got to make that decision. The problem is now Library Park behind it is open, and we're getting reports on a consistent basis of, you know, people out there doing drugs. Saw a lady the other day. The officers didn't get there in time, but she was going through wallets and purses. And, you know, the owners of the businesses there have witnessed sexual acts in Library Park during the day. So we need to be able – that's that population that we're focused on trying to deal with enforcement and try to make either want to change or go away.
Okay. We're hearing the same thing, and I know you guys are working there, and we go back to numbers and how many people do we have and all that, which is a huge part of this. One of the things that's been in the paper lately is that crime is really not going up. That and Silas Lyon wrote a piece saying, well, let's not get too carried away here, that the crime level is leveled off and may even be dropping. Are they missing something here? It feels like they're missing something here.
Well, what I described to them is that I think that there's a couple of reasons for that. And some of them are quite frankly hard to measure. They're anecdotal, not statistical, because it's very difficult to measure unreported crime. And, you know, I talked to Bob Blankenship, who was interviewed for that story, and I talked to Bob probably weekly. And, you know, in 1996, when their staffing level was the same as it is now, they didn't have an underreporting problem, according to Chief Blankenship, because they had enough officers to deal with the calls for service. Right now, we don't. And I do, you know, a lot of public speaking and a lot of community engagement. And people tell me all the time that, you know, I've been a victim 6-7 times, but I don't call you guys because we don't get a response. And that's disheartening to me because that's not the customer service level that we want to provide. And it doesn't show a true picture of what our crime is. But in 1996 or, you know, when they were 95, 96, when they were pulling those statistics, we also didn't have the level of visible transient population that we have now. That makes people feel afraid. And then you couple that with the internet and social media that makes it much more visible to the public. It's not just the underreporting. I think it's the awareness of the crime that's actually
present.
It's like
everything. There was pedophilia back in the 50s.
Right.
We know that. But you didn't hear about it.
There was domestic violence in the 20s and 30s, but it wasn't
hear
that
about it.
The visibility really. And the knowledge base of it is much greater.
Domestic
now.
Violence back there was more accepted. Let's just face it. I mean, a husband slapped a wife or they slapped the kids around. Hey, that's just the way it was. And you look at these old commercials, these print commercials for, you know, all this. Some guy's got his wife, and this was 1950s, had her over his lap. He was going to spank her because she didn't have dinner ready. You know, I mean, it was something like that. It was, but. So it is. That's part of that 24-hour-a-day news thing that people have to fill up, and if it bleeds, it leads type thing. But we still have a real problem here. And to think that we don't have a real problem here or to kind of poo-poo it by saying, oh, it's leveled off. Well, it's leveled off after it
spiked 29%.
After it spiked 29%. There's the problem right there. Here, our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti. We've talked about, you know, I think everybody knows we need more police. And with other things that are going on, we start pushing the camps. Start pushing the camps real hard. You've been meeting with businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you move into the new non-Taj Mahal, your square building.
My double wide?
Your double wide. You move into the double wide right there. You're going to be right next to South City Park. South City Park. Rick Bassetti, general manager, and they've done so much down there, as you know.
Yeah.
Has come up with an idea for the 45s to take over the security of that park. I want to talk to you about that when we come back. We'll be right back. Carl Lindebot, KCNR 1460. We're here with Reading Police Chief Rob Perretti.
Saturday, March 21st at Wind River Casino. Join Sovereign Minds and Jefferson State of Mind radio programs for the third annual banquet and fundraiser. A night of fun and guns, friends, and family. Come and have dinner. Auction includes a John Deere Gator ATV, gun raffles, and many other prizes. Call 221-0101 to get your tickets. Seating is limited. 221-0101.
Don't label us left or right.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Ah, yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Lindebot. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, March the 11th, and the time is 8:32. It's 8:33 as of right now. 54 degrees out there today, and it's raining. We're going to have rain today and this evening, and tomorrow's going to start clearing up. Getting sunny in the 70s. Maybe it's a chance of rain this weekend. Maybe we can always hope for it. So weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793, a better-known business, locally owned, locally operated. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Perretti. And Chief Perretti, we talked about so far the fact that we've got – there have been inroads made on things that are happening around here. Cleanups are happening. We're pushing people there, but it's not getting any better. The fact is that where crime is kind of leveling off, but you're not sure about that, even though it's kind of what the Art Record Searchlight is saying. It had spiked a few years ago. It's up 29-30%. The fact is I still feel like I can walk around a lot of places around here, but then again,
violent crime hasn't really spiked.
Yeah.
Violent crime spiked about 2010, and then it, you know, they came back down and it's leveled off. So that's good news. But the property crime side, is where I'm concerned. I don't think we have an underreporting problem when it comes to violent crime. I think we have an underreporting problem when it comes to property crime.
Okay, good.
And but that's it. Like I said, that's, you know, Rob's interpretation of what I hear on a consistent basis. And, there's no, it's very hard to measure, you know, unreported crime.
All right. Hey, let's go to the phones. Billy Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a quick question for the chief. Listen, I was down at the smog shop yesterday, and this guy, his license expired, his tags expired in February. Here it is, the 10th yesterday. And one of your officers pulled him over and gave him a ticket. And I was wondering how, as undermanned as you are and everything else, the leeway that he didn't get, he's got now a fine to pay, and he has to go to court and for 10 days over expired tags, and you guys had time to write him up. I was just asking why and for what reason. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Well, there's you know, obviously the patrol side of what we do, and there's a traffic enforcement side of what we do. And that was probably written by a guy on a motorcycle. And right now our traffic accident statistics are going up. And that's not a fine. It's a $10 fix-it ticket. All he's got to do is pay his registration, complete the process, and mail it into the courts.
It's not going to cost him anything.
It's not going to cost him anything. It's basically a fix-it ticket that makes him go pay the registration.
That is interesting, though, because I've, you know, frankly, you know, I've had a sticker on my car a couple of times, and especially the motorcycle, that one I carried around with me for like 2 months before I actually put it on. I have no idea what that is. And I thought, you know, but then I hear this. That well, when, so often, you know, it just, I guess, is it because you're unlucky at that point?
Well, when they go out and you've actually, if you, you know, say, hey, I've got the sticker right here, I just haven't put it on my car, they're just going to ask you to go put the sticker on your car, and then you're good to go, and you're not going to get a ticket. It's those that haven't completed that registration process. And it, every 2 years, it is, you know, longer because you got to get the smog and everything else, and that's probably why the guy was at the smog shop, is completing you get notices about 90 days ahead of time from DMV, so you've got plenty of time to go get that done. But if you look at, you know, why people typically, you know, the death rate in the community, far more people die in traffic accidents than they do in homicides or anything else. And that traffic enforcement is there to get people to pay attention and drive right. And right now, you know, we've only got two guys on motorcycles instead of the four we had because I had to cut it in half to send two to patrol. That's why we haven't had the bike patrol much, because we've got to keep, you know, the guys in patrol to do that 911 call. So, you know, right now, if you get a ticket from a motorcycle guy in Reading, you're just really unlucky because there's not a lot of them out there.
Okay, I've got all these questions in here. They've just been running through here that I didn't manage to keep. It's rare that they – okay, these are comments. It's rare that they keep the stuff that we give them. Look at all the tons of stuff they are picking up you're talking about. I think you mentioned that earlier off the air.
And a lot of the comments from that transient population are, you know, so what? Take it. I'll go get another one. You know, they're not putting any value on the help that and that's not all of them, but you know, a large majority of them that my officers talked to, I think Gary and Brian talked about that when they were in here, that they don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
when
Nick Bundy did the cleanup of one of the properties over there, he found piles of brand new clothes.
Yeah.
And things like that. So, you know, I think that when it comes to people's empathy for the transient population, it gets very worn when they see the damage that they're doing to the community, and the stuff that they give them to try to help them isn't valued.
Other comments? This is a good comment, too. What we're seeing in Chico and Orville, is it moving its way to Reading? That's in Sacramento, they're pushing out, the gangs are pushing out the pettier criminals, the lesser sharks, the smaller sharks, and now they're pushing them out. And now in Orville, you're getting drive-bys, you're getting a lot of assaults, and you know, and mm-hmm. you know, with the deadly weapons, is it moving to Redding?
Well, we've talked about this for you know the over 3 years that I've been here. You know, we encounter gang members that come in from other communities, and we give them very intense enforcement, and hopefully, you know, they go back to where they came from. But you drive around Redding and you take a look, I'm seeing a lot more red hats, red shoes, red shirts, and other things. And
who's that?
Well, that would be the
Crips.
The Norteños and the Sereños that are the red and the blue, and that's kind of what we're seeing. But, you know, we need – the gang element is here. It's not here in those quantities, and we need to keep it that way. And it's hard to do that without proactive enforcement. And every time those guys turn around, you're looking at a cop.
Can you arrest them and put them in – I mean, can you get them for things and then lock them up? And well, these are special guys.
I can't arrest them for red shoes, although I'd like to. But – you know, the fact of the matter is it depends on – it's still – they're evaluated the same as everybody else when they go to the jail. And right now with the amount of people that are in there for violent crimes, I think the last time Tom and I talked, he's – you know, and he's been saying for quite some time that, you know, he's got maybe 6 or 7 beds available on any day. Yeah. And my department is still averaging over 20 arrests a day.
Okay. Can you please ask – okay. Are you going to, I've got like 5 questions here. Great. These are really good questions. Thank you very much, chat room. Are you going to have a satellite office right downtown here? I mean, even though you guys are, you know, 10 minutes away, will it be like a small satellite office right down here in downtown?
That's not the plan now. Uh-huh. We do have an offer for a free office space, but I don't want to take free office space from somebody if the officers aren't going to use it. And really, you know, most of what they do out of their car. So cops are not the worst place to find a cop is at a police department. Come to the police department for a report, and you'll find out how long you wait, because as soon as they clear a roll call, we kick them out into police cars. So the presence downtown, really, the only difference is going to be the building is not here. The same number of officers are still going to be on the street, and they, you know, I would prefer they be in their car, you know, writing their reports rather than taking a report and going to an office somewhere. I would rather they sit in their cars and be ready right then to be able to respond.
If they write the report, then they can just shift it up because it's a computer and it just can go right to the mainframe, right?
Not yet.
Oh, really?
Not
so
yet.
We need to have something like that, obviously.
Well, yeah, that's part of the computer upgrade that we're doing right now. We just got the RFP back from purchasing. Mm-hmm. We're going to make some of the suggested changes to that, and then that RFP should go out within the next couple of weeks, and then it's 90 days to get back. That'll be about – improving the computer system for Shasta County, which is us, the sheriff, and the city of Anderson, is going to be probably about a $2.5 million project.
Okay. How long does a new hire have to work before they're eligible for a full retirement package, including health care?
It usually goes by age. So, you know, you're putting into a retirement system. If you leave before in the new system, 57, mm-hmm. Then it just freezes, but you can't touch it till 57 unless you decide to, you know, cash out just the cash value. There's some things mm-hmm. in PERS, but you know, typically you're not gonna get here for a year and then, you know, take off. There's parameters in PERS that you have to work for a certain period of time, and you have to be a certain age mm-hmm. before you can collect that.
What about looking at the way the private sector does things and pay police more? And then let them take care of their retirements like we do.
Well, and that's what the military's talking about too, in yeah. canceling the fine benefit, and that's decisions that are beyond the scope of the chief, obviously. But you know, it all depends. And if you look at what the total compensation is of a police officer right now, and this was a discussion that they had at the city council meeting a couple meetings ago. If you look at what an officer's paid, you know, my officers make about what they make in Stockton. It's competitive to the Valley. It's not competitive to the Bay Area. But, you know, the police officers got the same medical benefits they did before, but the city's costs have gone up about 17% since the Affordable mm-hmm. Care Act went into play. If you look at this smoothing process that PERS is going through, so what they're doing is they're taking what does it cost for the benefit for this police officer, and what does it cost for the unfunded liability? And they're smoothing that over 20 years. So when you see the total compensation of a police officer, they're not just paying for their retirement. They're paying for the retirements and the unfunded portion that came before them.
Oh, okay.
So their retirement doesn't – so it overbloats what their total compensation actually is, because they're paying for retirement benefits for people that came before them. Because when PERS put 3% at 50 into play, mm-hmm. from 2% at 55 to 3% at 50, they made it retroactive. So I don't know what happened in Redding at that time, but I know in Stockton where I came from, the day that went into effect, the day after, we had like 20 guys retire.
Yeah.
Well, so they got 15 to 20% extra benefit that they didn't pay for. And that's getting tacked on to the retirement contribution for the guys today, who most of which weren't even working as cops then. So you have to be careful when you talk about that total compensation number to understand where all the dollars come from.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Charles.
Yeah. Getting back to the people being evicted for behavioral issues, simply giving them information I don't believe is going to transform them into model citizens. I mean, if they're being kicked out because they're being drunk and belligerent at all hours of the day, they're bringing, you know, strange, creepy people at 24/7, and they're letting their kids run through other people's yards and, you know, having fights at 3 in the morning, that simply giving them an informational packet is not going to turn them into, you know, Boy Scouts.
Well, and I didn't mean to suggest that at all, Charles, but, you know, we have to be able to try to do something to make them, to teach them to be a good tenant, just like we have to try to, you know, most, you know, drug treatment programs only have a 50% success rate if they're
right.
Really, really good. But that doesn't mean that we don't stop doing drug treatment programs.
Incidentally, there's a homeless camp developing in the little Canyon Creek overpass underneath 273 in between Breslauer and Buena Ventura.
Hey, Charles, if you get on the Redding Police website, there's a button on there that says report a transient camp. If you fill that out, that'll go to my volunteer. They'll look and see whether it's public or private property, and they'll notify code enforcement or Bob Brandon.
Well, the creek bed, it's underneath 273.
Okay,
so
well,
that would be...
Yeah, we'll send it in, and then that information gets to Bob Brandon, and he goes out and tags them and cleans them up.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Charles. Hey, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry right there on 2225 Hilltop Drive across from Sierra Gibbs. The finest jewelry you're going to find in town. Great sales going on. Leonard has been in the business over 40 years, four decades, and he uses all that experience and his contacts in the jewelry industry to find really the special objects of art and jewelry that you're going to want to find. And his estate jewelry is just outstanding. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Give him a call at 222-2750. He's open Monday through Friday from 9 to 4:30. Our guest is Redding Police Chief Rob Pletty, and we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. Got a lot of stuff coming through the chat room. If you have a question for the chief, give him a call, 605-4567.
Take me ahead. Direct from Broadway, Sister Act, the hilarious 5-time Tony-nominated musical smash is coming to Reading. And we're going to be there, right, Molly?
Yes, Linda, we will be there, as well as the preset VIP dinner. You can come, too, by going to ReadingCivic.com for all your tickets to the show and the meet-and-greet VIP dinner. That's March 25th, ReadingCivic.com.
How fun!
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Petroleum Company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs, and a lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al's Saw Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Redding, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460 right here on your Wednesday morning on March the 11th. The time is 8:49 in the morning, 54 degrees out there. We're having rain today. It should be clearing up tomorrow. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane and our friends over there. Hey, you know what? On the 21st of March, at the Wind River Casino, beginning at 4:30, is the Sovereign Mines Jefferson State of Mine fundraiser and banquet. There is going to be a ton of guns there for raffling and all types of things, auctions. And it's table sponsor. You can have an 8-person table for $400, a couple tickets for $50, includes dinner for two. They're going to have all different types of raffle packets. Like I said, guns, all types of outdoor stuff, cakes. They had cakes last time, all of this stuff. Buy your tickets at North State Consultants on Old Oregon Trail or down at Jones Fort. Give them a call at 221-0101 there. And it should be a lot of fun there on the 21st. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti. Good morning, Rob. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. My a subject near and dear to our heart here is the red light cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You are putting one at Hilltop in Cypress.
Yes.
Frankly, I am glad you're doing that. you know how I feel about red light cameras.
Right.
I am not for them. But if there's any place you could put one, Hilltop in Cypress. I can't begin to tell you how people will just pull through that and block you from moving. And because they have no problem with that.
Well, that intersection itself is always in the top when it comes to red light created crashes and complaints to the police department. And what we're actually doing is moving camera system from Cypress and Churn Creek and moving it to Hilltop and Cypress. So the focus of this program is always traffic safety. And when we've gained compliance and like we have at Cypress and Churn Creek, then the red light cameras, it's time to shut it down and move it to another location. We're actually going to stop issuing citations at Cypress and Churn Creek and bag the camera system, but we're going to leave it in place. And if we lose compliance, then it's very easy. After 6 months or so, compliance has been maintained, then we'll remove the camera system completely. But we're just kind of going to bag it and not utilize it for a while. And if compliance goes away and people start running that red light again, then we can always easily just unbag it and start issuing citations at Churn Creek and Cypress again.
Okay, so you just bag it.
So we're going to bag it, okay. And we're going to put a new camera system at Hilltop, and then
a new system.
Yeah,
but who? I mean, I know the company pays for that.
The company pays for it. They're going to leave the system at Cypress and Churn Creek for free. We don't have to pay a lease payment on that. And then 6 months from now, if we don't need it, we're probably going to need it.
They must make how much they make a month off these things.
I'd have to check with my budget analyst to see what
is it over $200,000 a month?
Not a month, no, not at all.
$100,000.
They actually, the California Supreme Court. It used to be, when I started in the red light, in traffic, we used to pay red flex by citation in where I came from, and the California Supreme Court said you can't do it that way. You have to do it by a monthly lease on each intersection, which means that the programs could cost cities a lot of money. So we came up, the Redflex does a cost neutrality contract. So if we are supposed to pay $30,000 a month and the tickets aren't produced that even support that that lease payment, we pay no more than what we intake.
No, I understand.
So the
that.
System doesn't cost us anything. It's very cost neutral to the police department. And we get to take our costs off the top before we send them their payment. So the guys that actually process the red light tickets, Because Redflex cannot issue a citation in the city of Reading. It is a Reading police employee that views the video and says yes or no on whether or not the citation
will
be
issued.
Those
guys are funny, too. I mean, in a nice way. And, here's the thing about living in a small town. It's good and bad.
Oh, yeah.
Because
everybody knows who they are.
Redflex can't identify him, but your officers know everybody.
Yeah, they do.
That sure looks like Linda to me. But
if we get video from a loss prevention officer and they say, hey, does anybody know who this guy is? We send out an email, and usually in the department, somebody knows who that guy is, so we can usually wrap people up pretty quick. But we're getting a lot of out of towners too. We had an incident the other night where the guy was from Pittsburgh, and so we're getting our share.
Was he traveling through, or this was his location?
Well, and he was traveling through, and they get stranded, and that's where the homeless data that we talked about at the town hall meeting has been a little frustrating. Is we talked about the statistics came out kind of one third. And with a little bit more on the charitable services side, but the media is only focused on the charitable services portion of that. They haven't focused on the fact that we have I-5 going through the middle of our city and people get stranded here. They haven't focused on the other third that was family and friends that bring them here, and because of their drug and behavioral problems, they turn them out in a couple of weeks.
Well, we know that one of the things you have said to the city council or to One Safe Place, not One Safe Place, Good News Rescue Mission is, hey, get rid of this idea that we have to have somebody at the other end. If they want to go home, just send them home.
I haven't heard anything about that,
even though he talked about it in front of everybody the other night.
Well, they're the people like Jonathan and those that deal with the homeless believe in support systems. And my only argument to that is that there's no support system for them here. So if I got stranded on I-5 and I want to go home, and you say, yeah, well, you have no family at the other end, even though you were born and raised there, and you don't have a support structure, so you have to stay here. I don't see the compassion in that. To me, that's counterintuitive. So, I make suggestions, and like I said at the town hall meeting, I can't tell charities or people what to do. I can't tell family members not to bring your transient drug addict family member here and then kick them out in 2 weeks and make them my problem, and this community's problem. So, it was there. We did the survey. I reported the findings of that survey, and the public really has to decide. Right now, Reading is known as a place that's good to be homeless. And when one of the news agencies went out the day after the town hall meeting, the first two people they talked to said, yeah, we came from Oregon because word on the street is Reading's a good place to be homeless. And it's up to the community to decide if that's how they want their community to be known.
Okay. We got like 4 minutes left. What can we look for this, the next 6 weeks, 2 months, 4 months, for some planning that what's going to happen?
Right now, City Council is going to vote Tuesday night at the priority setting session. They've decided to use reserves to hire 4 police officers positions for 2 years to reinstitute the neighborhood police unit. That was in the course of action plan. Is one of the things I'd like to recreate. I think we're going to be able to add a little bit to that. They'll vote on that on Tuesday night. That'll take us up to 102. Still not close to where our staffing level needs to be, but any plus up of our staffing will be good. That way we can create a proactive team. We've got the strategic plan that we're working on now. I'm going to create a working group that has the members of my department and the two unions, as well as members of the community, the business community, as well as neighborhood watch captains, so we get a mix of residents and business and work on the strategic plan so that we can show the community what I think the staffing level should look like in an unrestricted environment, Rob's la-la land, and then, all the way down in couple-million-dollar increments all the way down to where we are now, so we can show them what gets reduced from each increment cut. We're going to work on, setting the priorities of the police department. The mission vision statement's going to be redone all the way through succession planning so that we can make
secession.
Sure.
You mean like State of Jefferson?
No, secession, not succession.
I'm just
as far as, how do we develop our staff so that, in another 8 years when Rob Pelletti retires, there's a guy that's ready to be the next chief. And the captains and the lieutenants that's there. I said when I got here, and I still maintain that, the two goals that I have as chief is to leave it better than I found it. And when I walk out the back door, I don't want anyone to notice. So if we can prepare the department for the future, that's what that succession plan is about. So we've got a lot of work to do on that. We're still working on, the upgrade of the computer system. We should have a vendor selected and a system selected that we're going to go to in this year. And that will start being implemented module by module over probably about an 18-month period. and we'll get our computer system upgraded.
What about the idea of having a, you can call it, I guess, would be a information center where everything's being, once you get the computers in, are you going to be able to build something like that? So it's going to, you can get like a really good strategic look of the area here so you can start planning, showing where everything is so the police will be able to have it being fed down to them, your officers.
Absolutely. And our system will be web-based, so the officers will be able to get crime analysis data. There's a dashboard that comes with it, so I can look at crime statistics on an instant basis every day and see how many calls came in the day before, what types of calls they were. Right now, we just don't have that capability. Mm-hmm. So that system isn't just for the Reading Police Department. It's for us, the sheriff, and the city of Anderson. It also will create, since it'll be upgraded into the current century, we'll be able to do data sharing with Tehama County and Siskiyou County and Trinity County and all the way, you know, there's a big push in California for data sharing amongst police departments statewide so that, you know, if we run local warrants, right now we get Shasta County. If we link with all these other counties and we run local warrants, it'll give us Shasta, Tehama, and all the people that we're linked with. So you have certain warrants that get entered locally and you have certain ones that get entered statewide, and that'll increase our capacity for those local warrants. So there's a lot of things that this will do to improve the efficiency in the police department, our picture of crime, and you know how we can strategize to affect those hotspots.
Sounds good. I'd like to see that because that's what we try to do in the military.
It's coming.
You can base it on that. Okay.
It's coming.
Hey, our guest has been Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti. And thank you, chat room. There's a lot of things going on in here, a lot of good questions coming out. Tomorrow, Trish Clark joins us, and it's Thursday. We're going to have a great show on that, too. I really appreciate what y'all are doing out there, Chief. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Pulled a hamstring in the...
Investigator.
South Carolina's Trey Gowdy says someone other than Clinton should be deciding which of her emails are public and which are personal. He tells MSNBC Clinton should voluntarily hand over her server to what he calls a neutral third party. He suggested a retired judge, an archivist, or an inspector general. Clinton ruled that out during a Tuesday news conference, saying the server would remain private.
SRN's Wally Hines on Capitol Hill. Secretary of State Kerry tells the Senate Foreign Relations Committee the U.S.-led anti-ISIS coalition must remain united in the fight against the terrorists.
They have to understand they can't divide us. Don't let them. They cannot intimidate us. And they have no hope of defeating us.
Kerry's testimony comes as President Obama seeks new war powers in the fight against ISIS. Heavy fog is hindering